This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, There is Joy in Giving.
Father God is a giving God, and we see it in His creation. Think about it. God made the sun, and the sun gives. In fact, I love it when the sun is giving. I would love that even today. What do you think? Yesterday was a very sunny day. It was like the first one in 5 days. I don't remember. God made the moon. The moon gives. You know what the moon gives? It gives the reflection of the sun. And that affects us. The air that God made gives. You're breathing, aren't you? Or do I have to go along with a mirror and check? We're breathing the air that God has given us this morning. And that's exactly what His creation was designed to do. It was designed to allow people to inhabit, animals and other living things to inhabit this planet. He made the earth, and the earth gives. Plant something in the ground, and it gives. Trees, flowers, plants, they give of their beauty, and they give of their fruit. Who could have designed this any better? This is an amazing, miraculous planet that we live on, and its whole function is to give. The same mind and heart that design all that we see around us, the one who made you and the one who made me, wove into the fabric of our higher aspirations the capacity to give. Inside of you someplace is that desire to give. Some people give more. Some people have the desire to give more. Some people give away their bodies. They write certain certificates before they die so that when they die, their eyes could be used, their throat could be used, their lungs, etc. Jesus says in Matthew 4:4 a very important thing. Man does not live by bread alone, meaning that life is more than the material, physical things around us. When God made us, He made us with a spiritual emptiness that only He could fill. This is intentional, that sense that there's something more to life than just the physical and the material, more than just the things that we take in and are visible to us. There's something more going on. Without the Holy Spirit living in us, no matter how many things we accumulate or how much we have in the bank, there will be that sense of emptiness. A while back, the Wall Street Journal, which is a business newspaper, published an article based on some polls that they had done among a number of retired businessmen. And the question that they had for those businessmen was about how significant was their sense of success after all that they had accomplished? So they reflected back over their business life, and they were asked if all that they had and the way they lived their life was worth it. Big question, right? You've worked like a dog. Was it all worth it? It's nice that somebody asked the question. Well, in hindsight, these top executives, to a man, felt that even though he accumulated so much, something was missing. Something was missing. Look at your life. Look at my life. Look at each other. Look at yourself. Do you feel like something is missing? See, those folks had a full wallet, but they had an empty soul. And you can't fill that with dollar bills. Our God is a giving God, and His answer to the lonely, longing, empty soul and its sinful nature was to give. The greatest gift of all, one of my favorite verses, Isaiah 9:6, it always pops up around Christmas time, okay? And what does it say? Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. God just gave Jesus over. But the key behind sending Jesus into the world is found in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. It says, in this was manifested the what? Can you see that word? What's that word up there, folks? A little louder. I hope you heard that over the phone. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. I mean, God looks down on the planet. He sees the state and condition of humanity. I mean, think of it. At the time that Jesus was born, Rome had its spiky boot on the necks of most of civilization. It was horrific. It was terrible. And God could still look down on that and have compassion and love. What do you think He sees when He looks down now? He sees all the stuff that makes you have a tight stomach and makes you nauseous. He looks down and sees that stuff. And yet He still says it was worth sending Jesus into the world that you might be saved. Our God is a giving God. In order to comfort and guide and bring peace and joy to a lost and lonely humanity, Acts 10:45 tells us that God did something else. He sent us something else. It says that he poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, some people think that in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it means that you're half full or maybe you're empty. No, the Holy Spirit is not a liquid. The Holy Spirit is a person. When the Holy Spirit comes into your body on the day that you got saved and you ask God to forgive you of your sin and you ask Jesus to come into your heart and you claim that Jesus died and was buried and rose from the dead for you, when the Holy Spirit comes into you at your request, he's never going to leave you again. I will never leave you nor forsake you is a promise embedded in us by the Holy Spirit. He's not going anywhere. He's not on a revolving door. You make one sin. I know that there are people, not necessarily people listening to my voice, who believe that if you just commit one sin, the Holy Spirit leaves. You know how many times that boy would be coming and going in the course of your day and my day about the sins that we know and the sins that we don't know that we've committed? So it don't work like that. When the Holy Spirit comes in, you've got all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to have. The question comes to be filled with the Holy Spirit is, how much of you does he have? What are you holding back? He's not holding back. God pours out his Holy Spirit upon you without reservation. He just pours him out. That's the way God works. That's the kind of God he has. He just doesn't give us blessings. He gives us an abundance of blessings. More than we could ever imagine. You can't outgive the Lord. And to be a safety net of support, encouragement, and accountability, God gave us one another. God gives you the church. If you want something tangible, he's given us the church. He's given us each other. What is the church? Two or three are gathered. There's twice two or three here this morning. We are the church. There are folks listening. We are the church. And as the church, we are here to support and encourage one another, to build up one another. My responsibility, we all are the same, right? I'm not any better than you. I may not be worse than you. We're just all the same. We're all going through this journey together. As part of the church, we each have our responsibilities. I mentioned Tatiana was on PowerPoint, and Jean was at the keyboard, and Sherry was doing the telephone connection, and Joe's back there with the audio, and you all were participants this morning in singing. We're all part of this together. My responsibility here is to bring God's word, to encourage, to edify, to just bring the truth of God's word to you as best I can, to be faithful to that. Giving is an integral part of our faith walk. We give our strength. We give all we can give till we can't give anymore. We give our tears. How many times have you broken down in tears this year at the loss of a brother or sister in Christ? We've lost some people this year in our congregation. I know that my eyes were filled with tears on many occasions this year. We give of our time, which is probably the most precious thing that people can give, because everybody's so busy, sometimes too busy. And we give of our wealth, whatever it is that comes into our hands. Missionary Amy Carmichael writes this: you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Think about that. In other words, if you say you love, you're giving something to somebody else. That's what giving is. You take a part of yourself and you give it to somebody else. Now, in his economy, God wants to be the first person to get the benefit of that. He wants to be the first person in that line of those to whom you will give. Giving things is no substitute for spending quality time with people you love. We know this. The scripture tells us we don't give our tithes and our offerings out of negative motivations. Rather, the Bible proposes six healthy how-to-give principles. So a lot of people, this whole question about giving and money in the church becomes very, very complicated because of how some people have presented that the church has gotten to the place in some people's minds where all they want you for is your money, right? Have you heard that? All those people on television want you for is their money. So that's tainted the whole church. That's what we're about. We're about two big things, hypocrites and money. Far from it. So number one of the six things, Matthew 10:8 says that we are to give freely, not because someone made us feel guilty, there's a lot of that going on, not because we've been manipulated to give. We give desiring to give God what's right and not what's left over. We don't want to give God what's left over. I'm going to share what that means here. In so doing, we honor the Lord, and that's what we do when we give. Number two, Jesus said, give in good measure, Luke 6:38. This is how we're to give. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. In other words, when you give to God, he gives back to you. And he gives so much more than you ever gave. Let's just talk not finances, but let's talk what happens when we go down and do Angel Tree. We go down there expecting to bless others. And we come back from Angel Tree having been blessed beyond measure. Amen? For those of you who have gone, you know what I'm talking about. We just feel that joy that comes. We feel the sense of satisfaction in having done something for others who are really in need. God asks us to give 1/10 of our income back to him. That giving acts as a seed of faith and faithfulness. Hebrews 6:14, God promises to take that faith seed and multiply it for his kingdom and for your blessing. What happens when one person puts their tithe in the offering plate and nobody else does? Well, that tithe is supposed to do it all. But we all give, and all of us together in the giving carry on the work of the kingdom here on this corner. We can do more together than any of us can do on our own. So as soon as your tithe goes into the offering plate, it's multiplied by the giving of the rest of us. And we can help other people. And the money that you give in part, in big part, goes to help other folks. Number three, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. Give as God has promised he will give to you. So I got two examples of that, which I find through the years to be very encouraging. J.L. Kraft was the head of the Kraft Cheese Company, who for many years gave 25% of his income. He said, the only investment I ever made which have paid constantly increasing dividends is the money I've given to the Lord. Henry Crowell, founder of Quaker Oats, you're familiar with that, Kraft Cheese, Quaker Oats, received Christ as Savior as a young man. When he began his business career in a little Ohio factory, he promised God he would honor him with his giving. As his business grew, he increased his giving. After more than 40 years of giving, 60% of his income was given to the Lord. Can you imagine? 60% of his wealth. And this is what he said, quote, I've never gotten ahead of God. He's always ahead of me in giving. In other words, shorthand, you can't outgive the Lord. The more you give to him, the more he gives back to you. It's amazing. God gave the account of someone who gave even more than 60%. You know who that was? Turn with me in your Bibles up here on PowerPoint, Luke 21, verses 1 to 4. Here's a wonderful little account. Luke 21, verses 1 to 4. And he, Jesus, looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she, out of her penury, out of her poverty, has cast in all the living that she had. Imagine that. So I want you to get a handle on it. I want to translate this into where we are in terms of money. So a mite was a Jewish coin called a lepta. And it was first minted by the Maccabees. Remember the Maccabees and being able to have more oil in their lamps because they ran out of oil and yet God kept the lamps running? Well, those were the Maccabees. The lepta was equal in value to the tiniest Roman copper coin, like a penny, called a quadratus. The quadratus equaled 1/16 of a Roman soldier's daily wage. A Roman soldier's daily wage was 1 denarius. And that was about 40 cents in our day. 1/16 of 40 cents is 6 cents. She gave 2 of those, 12 cents. So look at the bottom line up there. 12 cents was 100% of what she had, and she gave it all. Didn't think twice. Just gave it all. Meanwhile, all these others are throwing money into the pot, throwing money into the pot. And Jesus recognizes the little things. See, little things are big in God's eyes when they're given out of faithfulness. Number four, 2 Corinthians 8:12. We give willingly because we want to, not because we have to. I'll say it again. We give willingly, not because we have to, but because we want to. Can you imagine if you're a guy giving your wife a beautiful piece of jewelry for her birthday, and she says, honey, you didn't have to. And then you turn around and say, well, I really felt like I had to. I really felt like I didn't feel like dropping all that money, but I figured I better do it. Oh boy, would you be getting crowned? So no, you give because you want to. And when you give because you have to, the whole sentiment disappears. The whole meaning goes away. We don't give back to the Lord because we have to. We give back because we want to. Number four. I just did number four. We give because we care about the lives who will be touched by our giving. God willingly is giving. For God, giving willingly is from the heart. It can't be commanded. It can't be demanded. It can't be bribed. When you give willingly, you're giving from your heart, not because somebody said you had to, not because anybody's keeping track of what you're giving. We don't do that. You give willingly and the Lord will bless you. Number five, 2 Corinthians 9:7 says we give with a purpose. Why are we giving? We bring our tithe and offering intentionally. It's not an afterthought. We've thought it through, we prayed it through, and we followed through. Why is that? Because we don't just come and say, well, what's in my pocket this time? And you find $1.25, and that's what goes into the offering plate. It's not an afterthought. It's a premature thought. People who write out checks have thought it through. Let me give you a little bit more light on that. Malachi 3:10, God instructs us to bring our tithe into the storehouse. The storehouse is the church. So there will be no lack of meat in the house, the Bible says. No lack of means or money to carry on the work. How do you keep the lights on? How do you keep the heat on? How do you keep all the other expenditures that we have? Now for us, as a church of believers, we come together annually for a church meeting. And that congregational meeting, part of it is about a budget. So we have some very good thinking people about our finances who lay out a budget in black and white. You get a copy of the budget about 2 weeks before we actually have to vote on it, and you go over that budget. And when you come back and you're part of the meeting, the business meeting of the church, and you're asked to vote on the budget, and you raise your hand and say, yes, I vote for that budget. What you're really doing is you're saying, yes, I will support this. And the only way you can support it is by your giving. So that's not something you just do lightly. It's something you do with intelligence and something you do as not an afterthought. You want to support the ministry of your local church. We don't ask for money. We don't say, hey, by the way, we have a wonderful CD ministry. And if you'd like to get a CD, just go back there, give Joe $5 and it'll all work out. We don't go to people in our distance telephone ministry and say, we really need your money to keep this ministry going. The telephone. We don't do any of that. We don't manipulate people. We don't bring on guilt trips. We don't talk about it to the point of ad nauseum. We say, you know, you have a responsibility as a believer here in this church, as a member of this church, to give. And guess what? You do. You give so that we don't have to go begging for money. I can't tell you how many churches I'm aware of where basically the pastors are in that position where they're begging their people to give. It's not supposed to be that. Number six, 2 Corinthians 9:7 says we give cheerfully. If we are giving freely in good measure, as God has blessed us willingly, understanding the purpose of our giving, it won't be a leap to do it cheerfully. In other words, if you understand, if you've been given all the information, if you know why you're to give and you have that sense of love for your congregation, for your church, and for the work that we do, you'll give cheerfully and willingly. I think that's a great thing. This is a giving church. When this church sees a need, we give. When I talk to folks about the Jesus birthday offering, and I don't know the number yet, and I'm looking forward to hearing what the number is, I just know this historically, that when I speak to this congregation about a need that requires folks to give something special, like at Christmas, the money pours in. That you folks give in such a way, and that your purses are emptied, but your hearts are filled. I know that. I see that, and I'm so impressed with it. Cheerful giving, and this is important, is giving with no strings attached. We don't give with the expectation of getting something in return from the people to whom we give. Giving is not something that we expect a return on from the person we give it to. We make no expectations on the people we give financial resources to. We make no expectation when we go down to Trenton on Angel Tree to get anything in return. We go giving freely, and it's amazing how much we get in return. On one hand, God has freely given us His Son, our salvation, His forgiveness, a new life, a new beginning, a new purpose for living, a new attitude, a new way of thinking, and a new family. But God has also invested in us, and He anticipates a return on His investment. You say, what does that look like? Well, God has invested you with one of the most precious commodities you can have, time. You have time. Job 7:1, we see that we have an appointed amount of time on earth, and it's comparatively a short amount of time. Our yesterdays are history, our tomorrows are a mystery, but today is a gift. Yesterday happened, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but right now, this is the gift we've been giving, a gift to be used wisely, a gift to be used well. What are you doing with your time? Listen to this very challenging verse in Ephesians chapter 5, 16. It says, redeem the time. In other words, buy the time. Spend your time wisely. How you spend your time over time will become your testimony, will become your legacy. What you do with your time. Make good and godly use of your minutes and your years, and you will, because you will never see them again. Amen? You're never going to see that minute. This one right here, gone. Never to be seen again. It was 2020 a little while ago. Now it's 2021. We'll never see 2020 again. Gone. What you do with your time is very important. I love this phrase. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. What are you doing with your time? God has also invested you with spiritual gifts and talents. These are His gifts to you. What you do with them is your gift to Him. What are you doing with the gifts that you have? This morning, just the four people who are here have given of their gifts, of their talents and their abilities. 1 Timothy 4:14, it says this, neglect not the gift that is in thee. God anticipates you will use your giftedness and your talents to further His gospel and His work by joining forces with the church to reach out and help others. Someone wrote this, and I love it. It's very poetic in my mind. Use what talents you possess. The woods would be a very quiet place if no bird sang there. They use their gifts. I love to listen to the birds. It was a couple of years where there weren't too many birds around. But over the last few years, I love to listen to some of the birds, and you can pick out after a while, you can pick out their song. And they're singing as unto the Lord. This is the gift He gave them, and it's beautiful. Closing story. Give as an act of worship. And I'm sure you're wondering what this has got to do with that. Give as an act of worship. Honor the Lord with your money and with the first fruits of all your income. Here's the story. Two little boys were each given a box of chocolates by their grandfather. The first boy took the package into his bedroom, tore it apart, stuffed the candies in his mouth until he was one big mess of smeared chocolate. The other boy unwrapped his package there in front of his grandfather and said, "Thank you for giving me this candy. Here, you have the first piece." We want to give God the first of all the things that He's given us. Make Him number one, and you will find that there is joy in giving. Father, we thank You for the privilege we have to go through Your word and beginning to see ourselves and beginning to see our purposes beginning to see your promises and your precept and your principles, and know that there is a way that is right for us to follow, that you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life, and you are the light of our life. Help us to be light to people in our sphere of influence. Help us, Lord, to share with those around us who have a need. Help us as a congregation to be mindful of those in our congregation who are hurting, whether it's emotionally, whether it's physically, financially, spiritually. Help us, Lord, to be able to hear and see, and then to be able to listen, Lord. And then, Father, to be able to do something which helps folks in their time of need. And we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.